Okay, we're not using the PowerPoint that I sent through the other night. Sometimes you prepare a sermon and you put a lot of effort into it and it's good and you're happy with it. And then the day before, you know, you look at it and you think, actually, I just have no appetite for it. It'll be good for another day. I'll preach on Ananias and Sapphira. So if you've read the church intro, just ignore it. We'll use it again sometime else. What I want to preach on, and can you forgive me for the lack of polishedness, because Jimmy, this is going to be completely different. It's unprepared, and it's just I want to talk about Eric this morning. Now, some of you will know Eric and will know him well, and he'll be a friend. Some of you will never have met Eric, just sort of bear with me, as it were. Eric is an important part of this church. He was here and served faithfully and was a good friend to many of us. And so what I want to do is I want to just spend a bit of time looking at what I would call hallmarks of a heroic Christian, if that's okay. Hallmarks of a heroic Christian. Another title would be Our Mate Eric. Yeah? So whichever one you identify with, feel free to run with it. It could be hallmarks or our mate. But what I want to do is I just want to, four things I want to look at. These have sort of been sort of going on in my mind over the last 24 hours. And I prayed about it and I felt God say, yeah, that's good. We want you to do stuff that feels right for today. So four hallmarks. Just think about these carefully. The first hallmark that I want to talk about is loyalty. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6 is a fascinating story about Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. He was a good bloke, he was full of faith, the Philistines invaded his country, and he had an attitude of, we're not going to let them dominate us, we're going to fight back. And so this is a story in which him and his armor bearer take the battle back to the Philistines. And I want you to think about this as we read it. Jonathan said to us, so this is 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by few or by many. The armor bearer says this, do all that you have in mind. Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. That's a critical statement, isn't it? Do all that you have in mind. Do what God is sending you to do. Do what you feel is right to do. I am with you, heart and soul. And so Jonathan says to his armor bearer, this is just the two of them. It's a crazy plan, but anyway, on they go. Come on then, we'll cross over towards them and let them see us. And if they say to us, wait there until we come down to you, we will stay where we are and not go up. But if they say, come up to us, we'll climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into his hands or into our hands. Would you go on such a mission? If it was two of you and there was an outpost full of Philistines and your mate said to you, okay, Jimmy, this is going to be the test of whether God is with us. If they say we'll come down and slaughter you down on the plain, then we'll stay. But if they say come up, which is actually the worst of the two military options, if you think about it, climbing up a hill and being attacked from above is far worse militarily. That's a sign from God that we'll have success. You know, logic dictates that you think that Jonathan's a bit of an idiot, frankly, and you don't do anything he suggests. But the armor bearer is full of faith as well, and Jonathan is full of faith, and so off they go. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes that they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. It's all sort of very military speak, isn't it? So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. And so Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. It's a bit of a gruesome picture, and apologies for that. Apologies for anyone who's sort of not in favor of war this morning. But the general idea is that Jonathan gave the initial blow, and the armor bearer sort of finished them off in order to prevent them from coming in from behind. And in that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed 20 men in the area of about half an acre. Now, the key question here and the key thing that I want to talk to us this morning is about loyalty. And Julie and I were having a little chat about this. Eric was tremendously loyal when he came to this church. He came to this church and he said, okay, I'm with you heart and soul. I'm gonna support you whatever you do. Rita the same. We're gonna be for this church from the get-go. And they were. Yeah, they just were. Yeah, when we set up a group for different people whom we were looking after, they became part of that group and joined us as our assistants. Can you imagine a mature couple in their 80s who were assisting Ruth and I in running a group? We'd go down the New Forest and we'd have a week down at my parents' cottage with the group, and I'd say to Eric, okay, can you prepare the program for the week? And that's what he'd do. He'd prepare the program for the week and he'd do much of the teaching on the program. When Eric said, I think it'd be great if we have a Bible study in the group, we had a chat and we talked it through and we talked about a name and we sort of, you know, threw a few names around. And my parents have a KYB group at their home church. I said, what about it? And he was very humble and he said, yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, I'm with you heart and soul. There was nothing special about Jonathan. Let's be clear about that. Jonathan wasn't some amazing bloke who had no flaws or no faults. But his armor bearer just said, I'm going to tuck in with you and I'm going to support you in whatever you have faith for. Yeah, and so we had faith for social justice and bags of food. Extraordinary. And so can I just say that to us here this morning? Loyalty is really important. There's no such thing as independent Lone Ranger Christians. Yeah, they do not exist. If they do, they don't have any fruit. I'll say that for free. Eric knew what it was to be loyal, and therefore he knew what it was to see fruit, and they did. Yeah, so that's my first point. Loyalty. That's not to say that we didn't have good discussions about things. Can I just say that? Every now and again he'd say, oh, hang on a minute, I'm not sure about this. Or he'd give me suggestions about what I should do with the church and which leaders I should appoint. In fact, Paul Baker commented on that last week, actually. One of the last times I saw Eric, he had a list of things that I should be doing with this church. And he went through the list in his head. Didn't have it on paper. He went through the list. I won't share the list with you, and I won't share with you the contents of his recommendations. But when someone is saved from his deathbed, you have to take it seriously, is what I would say. Yeah, and I am doing so. Yeah. So that's not to say that he was a pushover. Does that make sense? That's not to say that he wasn't a thinking man. That's not to say that he didn't question stuff. That's not to say he didn't say, hang on a minute, Dave, I don't know whether you've got that right, or I don't know whether this appointment is right. I mean, he'd often talk to me about stuff like that. But fundamentally, I knew he was with us, me, heart and soul. Now, can I just say, I am not precious about loyalty per se. I mean, I'm not a paranoid sort of bloke, okay? So I'm not the sort of person that thinks you have to be loyal or else there'll be trouble. Do you mean it's a biblical principle? Yeah, it's an important biblical principle. So I just sort of share that with you. Yeah, find the leader that you want to be loyal to and stick with them, is what I would say. So that's my first point, loyalty. My second point is Eric and Rita are both tremendously hard workers. Rita still now, and Eric was. Let's just look at the scripture. Galatians 6:9-10 says this. Chris Brown gave this to me as a scripture before he left, it's an important one. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says this: "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Yeah? Say that again. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." If you look at their diary, Eric and Rita's week was and is, probably will continue to be, incredibly busy. Yeah, which is quite impressive, actually. Yeah, and so there'd be prayer meetings, there would be helping out at Ruth's Oak Tree Cafe, there would be sorting out a KYB discussion and Bible study on a Thursday morning, there would be coming along to our group and serving there and often leading a discussion. Eric would always be asking when he could preach next. Not out of any sense of pride or anything like that, he just wanted to serve. Yeah, and just wanted to be on the front. Can I just say that is really impressive? Yeah, and is a real example to me. You know, most people view, post 70 as an opportunity to wind down, don't they? They think, okay, I've done my bit, I've worked hard, it's now time to take to the golf course or to the whatever you might want to take to in your retirement. Yeah, that somehow didn't seem to sort of figure, really. Do you mean that it seemed to me that what they were taking to was the kingdom in your retirement? And you know, that is a real example, isn't it, to us? That sense of hard work linked to the kingdom in retirement. And it's a lesson to me. Do you mean? Because sometimes we can take our foot off the pedal, can't we? And we can almost cruise, or we can, I don't know, we can sort of, yeah. And then we look at Eric and think, now, hang on a minute. He didn't, we shouldn't either. Yeah. Be imitators of me, just as I'm an imitator of Christ. The same is true of holy brothers and sisters who go before us. And so I'll just say, be an imitator of him. Just as he was an imitator of Christ. The next thing I want to talk about is that he was a great encourager. Barnabas, who appears in the book of Acts, was a great encourager too, wasn't he? He was called the son of encouragement. And encouragement is actually a narrow word. The biblical word is actually far wider. It's more like Paracletes, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't just mean encourager. It also means counselor. It means supporter. It means a builder of faith. It means it's all of those things sort of wrapped into one. So if you look at Barnabas and his sort of life history, you see that he does some amazing things. He sells a field that could have been his inheritance, his family inheritance. And he takes hold of the money and he gives it to the poor. I hope I'm not sort of betraying confidence, but do you mean regularly Eric would be slipping different people money in order to support different ventures? Yeah. And regularly he'd be doing that. Yeah. He would be, in a sense, matching his faith with his finance. Yeah. They do say that, you know, what you do should be kept in private and shouldn't be revealed to the world. But I think I can say that to you today. Yeah. There'd be a trip down the New Forest and we'd get a gift to help pay for the expenses. Or, you know, someone would need a bit of money, or someone would need sponsoring to go to West Point and they would be sponsored. Yeah. It's great, isn't it? Encouragement through finance. He also, Barnabas encouraged through encouraging different people in ministry. So Paul wouldn't have got a look in terms of becoming an apostle to the Gentiles if it hadn't been Barnabas. Barnabas basically took Paul, Saul, under his wing, introduced him to the Antioch church, got him all set up, got him into eldership and supported him. He then went on a missionary journey with him, and then he reversed roles with him so that Barnabas was no longer the leader, but Paul was. What a humbling thing to do. Yeah, and then Paul led things forward. He supported Paul in his ministry. Eric did that as well. He'd come alongside people. You heard about the anchoring thing with James. He'd come alongside people, he'd talk to them, he'd chat to them about preaching or teaching or discipleship or a whole range of things. He would talk quietly about this, that and the other and be a son of encouragement. Barnabas supported John Mark as well. When do you remember the story? When Barnabas and Saul had Paul had a massive row in Acts. They have a huge row over John Mark. John Mark's let them down. He's gone home to look after a relative or something, and Paul feels he's let the side down and so sacks him basically. And Barnabas says you can't sack him for just a one offence. They have a huge row in Park Company. And actually it's Barnabas that's vindicated in the end. Paul is superb, but he doesn't always get it right. And in this case, he did actually. Barnabas is vindicated because John Mark goes on to write the gospel according to Mark. And also in a later letter, Paul says to him, bring to me John Mark because he's precious, he's important. So, you know, Paul himself acknowledges that actually people who slip or slide or in a sense, you know, can be picked up and dusted down and set back on their feet. And Eric did that a few times as well. Yeah, I hope we're sort of getting a picture. As I said, if you didn't know him, I hope you're sort of getting a little bit of a picture, a little bit of a flavour this morning. I think it's important. And finally, we have the sort of acceleration towards the finishing line. 2 Timothy 4, 6-8 says this. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. I'm going to read such a powerful scripture. It's so right for this morning. And I want us to just really sort of, in a sense, soak it up. I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Two people have really impressed me over the years that I've been in ministry, just the last few years. Eric is one, and Stephen Stad is another. And similar, really, in terms of their attitude. Stan had a similar attitude. Stan came to this church totally with a background in the Anglican Church and a dyed-in-the-wool Anglican, shall we say. And he said to me, Dave, I'm with you heart and soul. I'll do whatever needs to be done. I don't know how old he was when he was certainly in his 70s when he got baptized here in a paddling pool and we tipped a load of water. He was in his 80s when we... Was he in his 90s when we baptized him? Seriously? My goodness. He was in his 90s. He obviously looked a lot younger than I thought he did or something. Or perhaps I remember him in that way. Anyway, allegedly, or no, you should know, shouldn't you, Stephen? He was in his 90s when we sat him in a paddling pool with pictures of a little mermaid on it, I think. Yeah, a toddler's paddling pool, and got a pitcher of water and tipped it over his head because we were too afraid to put him in the main pool because we thought we'd break every bone in his body, basically. And he submitted himself to that process humbly because he wanted to be a full part of what we were doing and who we are. Eric, the same. And I remember preaching at Stan's funeral, and that picture of the race and the, I think the Olympics may have been on, I can't remember. But anyway, that whole picture of the 200 metres, and as you round the corner, you accelerate towards the finishing line. Yeah, and that sense of the dip, and then you strain towards the line. Yeah, and then you go through it at the best possible speed. Yeah, and I can confidently say that Stan was a heroic example of that, and Eric was also a heroic example of that too. Yeah, that sense of just, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to go for God, right up until the end. I hope that when I am in my whatever 80s at the HDU unit at St. Peter's Hospital with Ruth and my girls around me, yeah, that I'll have a similar whatever exit plan or something. Yeah? That I'll have a similar level of faith, that I'll have a similar level of trust in God, that I'll have a similar level of hope, that I'll have a similar level of the kingdom is my life. Yeah, and I'm waiting to see Jesus in glory. You went through that scripture, didn't you, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Yeah, that sense of actually both are good. Yeah, in fact, one is better. Being with Christ is actually better than living here on earth. Did you know that? I don't know whether we fully realise that. We always live on the wrong side of eternity until we go to the right side of eternity. Yeah, but actually, you know, there is better than here. Yeah, we go to be with him in glory, and then we await the resurrection of the dead when bodies are raised to life and he returns, and we reign with him here on earth in new bodies, and the dwelling place of God is with man, and Jerusalem, somehow heaven is combined with earth, and there's a perfection in eternity and an adventure and a pleasure and a enjoying God. There is better than here. We know it in faith. He now knows it in reality. Yeah? Yeah. And so, you know, I just encourage us to have that attitude that actually as we grow older, we speed up. We don't slow down. Can you get hold of that by faith? I'm not saying you necessarily speed up in terms of your activity, but perhaps you speed up in terms of your spiritual devotion or something, I don't know. Yeah, let me sort of encourage you with that, I guess. Yeah, get that picture of just the athlete with their head down, heading towards the tape, heading towards the finishing line, with others around, encouraging and supporting. Many years ago, I was at a funeral of a friend, and he was in the RAF, and he died, sadly, in Iraq in the war. He was shot down by friendly fire. It was very sad. And we went to his funeral, and it was up at a base in Lincolnshire, I think. And it was a great service. It was a moving funeral. And then what happened was we went outside, and we stood there outside in a day like this. It was very sunny. It was very bright. And then suddenly, three tornadoes came just horizontal, and they came shooting across towards us, three of them, and it was just an amazing sight, really quick as well. They moved really quickly, and they moved towards us. And just as they reached the church, the middle tornado went vertical, went straight up. It's incredibly powerful, like an arrow to heaven. And the other two carried on. This is straight up. Eric has gone straight up to be with his Lord. Straight up, like an arrow. A flash. Could miss it. Happened. And so this morning we give thanks for him, don't we? Lord, we thank you for him. Thank you for his friendship. Thank you for his wisdom. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his faith. We thank you for his normality as well. A normal bloke just like you and I. We thank you for his humor. Thank you for his perseverance. Thank you for his love and affection. We thank you for his being such a great family man, husband, father, grandfather, to such a wide family. We thank you for him. And Lord, we want to take hold of all the good things about his life, and we want to say yes, we want to take hold of them in order to spur us on to love and good works. It says, let us consider how we can spur one another on to love and good works. Lord, we want his life to be that spur for us to move forward to love and good works. We want to be that example. We want to hold that in our memories. We want to hold it dear, and we want to say, yes, that is an example to us. Stan, Eric, examples to us of being spurred on to love and good works. As we look at their lives, we say, yes, we're gonna move forward. Lord, as we look at the example of Barnabas and then of Eric and the sense of coming alongside people and supporting them and urging them and encouraging others, and the way that they just almost forgot about themselves and were looking to, how can I develop this person? How can I develop that person? How can I develop that person? How can I love them and spur them on? Lord, help us to be like him. Lord, as we look at loyalty and we look at, Lord, sometimes we are tempted to be independent and a bit maverick and to go our own way and to do our own thing and not be part of the body of Christ but be independent. Lord, help us to be challenged by his example of tucking in and of saying, I'm with you heart and soul. If you're going to do this, I'm going to do it too. If you're going to lead this group, I'm going to be in there with you, chatting to people and praying for them and loving them, supporting them. If you're going to go here, I'll go here too. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for him. Lord, help us to be like him in that. And Lord, also with many of us, in a sense, in the latter stages of our years, Lord, that sense of acceleration. That sense of, actually, I'm not going to cruise. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to head into retirement. I'm not going to, in a sense, wind my life down to death. I'm going to wind my life up to eternity. I'm going to wind my life up to the kingdom, because I know that as I hit the tape, I'm with Christ and the prize is there, and there's the well done, good and faithful servant. Going through the line and into the embrace of you and the supporters in heaven, as it were. It's how we want to go, isn't it? Surely that's how we want to go, brothers and sisters. Surely that must be how we want to go. Thank you for him. Lord, comfort his family and friends during this time, I pray. Lord, we talked about Stephen. When he died, his friends mourned him. They loved the fact that he'd been so bold and whatever, and they knew that he was in glory, he'd had that vision of Christ. But at the same time, they were sad that their mate had gone. And that is what we have to hold in balance today. That we're glad he's with you, we're glad that he's in your presence, and we're happy for that. But he was still a friend, and we miss him. Yeah? There's a tension there, isn't there? There's a sort of a right tension. Let's have both in mind as we move forward together. And Lord, we thank you for this, your church. We thank you that we can grieve together, we can worship together, we can mourn together, we can celebrate together, we can laugh together, we can joke together, we can be together, we can do this together. In Jesus' precious name.